It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT on the topic of the potential Subway Series. Now, we brought this up over the point, over the course of the summer, a couple of different times, had some fun with it. Hey, imagine this and imagine that. 24 years ago, obviously, it did become a reality. But now here we are where there's four teams standing. Well, there will be four teams standing, and the Mets and Yankees are two of those teams. So it is as realistic as it's been in a very, very long time. You mentioned it before from a Yankees perspective. Oh, you'd love to have the Yankees and the Mets fun story and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The one way that if the Mets got swept in the NLCS, it would suck, obviously, but it'd still be like, wow, what a great run they've had. What a fun season. The one way the Mets could ruin the entire season and any kind of positive feel or excitement would be to lose to the Yankees. There's no way, any way, shape, or form that any fan walking the face of the planet, if you're a Met fan, would accept losing the World Series to the Yankees. I don't care what your win expectancy was. I don't care how many magical home runs you hit, how many mascots are throwing out first pitches. The one thing that the Mets under no circumstances can do is lose the World Series to the New York Yankees.
So if that's the case, I wonder why you and maybe others wouldn't try to avoid that.
Well, I welcome it. First of all, two reasons I welcome it. Number one, because I believe the Yankees are going to be there. So I'd rather the Mets get there and have a shot than not be there at all. And I really just think the Yankees' path is easier. Number two, I really think the Mets are better. I think they beat them. I felt that way in June, so I'm certainly going to feel that way now, where I think the Mets have just played better baseball all year long. Now, I mean, anything's possible. We've seen better teams not win the series, and the Yankees are dangerous with Soto and Judge and Cole, of course. But yep. The main reason for my confidence is because I, A, believe the Mets are better, and also this is a shot now to erase a lot of demons. As bad as it could be if you lose that,
yep,
it could also erase a lot of demons and then be the springboard. Mm-hmm. And then not only do you beat them in the World Series, then you steal Soto away.
I was going to go there. Boy, these are two very different Hollywood scripts.
But think about this is all different. Realistic and all at play here.
Well, because everything that excited you and others when Steve Cohen bought the Mets and was immediately positioning them as, not inferior to the Yankees and eventually not being as obscured by the Yankee shadow and aura, all the things we've talked about, that's in front of you. Yankees get to the World Series. Mets get to the World Series. Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series. Mission accomplished to what I just said about Cohen's mission and motive. And then, you got the chance to take the dagger and just go for the juggler and take Juan Soto. That's one Hollywood
script. And start to really build a sustained, successful run.
Now, the good thing about Hollywood scripts, as I have the other one right here in my hand here. Let me just give it a quick perusal. Yeah. Is that all these amazing good vibes for the Mets, the Grimace, the Hawk 2, or the walk-off, the Lindor run, all the amazing stories, Mendoza, best manager we've ever seen, Cohen this, Stearns that, Full House, beating the Phillies, 50,000 seemingly, unbelievable. Everybody's singing the same song, My Girl, My Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an interesting script. Now, then you ride that wave of of amazingness, and then you get back to the World Series, and you get little brother again. Like, dude, that could happen.
Well, which is why I'm telling you, that would be, I'm telling you right now, this is on record here. If that happens, I am done as a sports fan.
Why not?
No. There's no way the sports gods would be that cruel to have the New York Mets have one of the greatest seasons in the history of their franchise, doing it magical, incredible ways every step of the way. There is no way that they can have that result in losing to the Yankees in the World Series. No way. You talk about putting the fork? That would put the fork in me as a fan. I'm telling you, I couldn't take it anymore. I lived through 2000. I was there in Game 5. I saw the Yankees celebrate another World Series on Shea Stadium turf. If that wasn't enough, 24 years later, now when I would argue the Mets are better, and there's reason to believe the Mets are better than the Yankees, 2000 they weren't close. This is different. With the magical way that this happened, if the Mets ever lost that series, I'm telling you, I am done as a sports fan. Done. There's no coming back from that. It's almost like the 28-3 Super Bowl. Like, there's no coming back from that.
I told you it was a devious script.
What I love is your confidence.
I'm not arrogant. I'm confident.
Here's all you need to know.
By the way, I don't like the fact that you guys beat us four times or something. Like, you don't think that I don't really bring that up too much because it was regular season. I want to crack at you guys. Like, yeah. And just forget about, like, the crazy fandom and the rivalry for a moment. Yeah. Forget about that, right? Like, I'm genuinely curious. And even if the Yankees aren't there, I'm curious if this were to happen with the Mets. And like, can Iglesias keep hitting? Like, is Vientos going to keep hitting? Like, I'm very curious if this translates. And it very well might, because they've done it for a while. Is Quintana going to keep throwing gems? Is Manaea going to keep throwing gems? I mean, all these things that I want to see, because I'm very much intrigued by the Mets, and I'm impressed by the Mets. But I would love, love to reach for this script.
Now, you welcome it as well?
Bring it on. Let's go. This is what we need.
But don't you think...
I want it.
Don't you think that there's...
I'll run the risk of losing to you guys. And I'll run the risk of you gloating, which you should.
Like, you have nothing. See, the difference is the Mets could lose a lot from it, but there's a lot to gain as well.
Correct.
The Yankees have really not much to gain. They're the Yankees. You've already beaten the Mets in the World Series. It really, to me, the risk outweighs the reward from the Yankees' perspective.
I agree with that. There's yes. But the Met fan, and maybe I'm living in the moment, but I don't think that I am, from a Yankee fan's perspective. The Met fan has never felt this confident. Like, the Met fan is no longer, nor should you, genuflecting at the altar of the New York Yankees.
2000 was different.
I know it was. I agree. I'm not saying you guys were just happy to be there, but the Yankees were in the middle of a dynasty. Most of us thought that the Yankees were going to win, and they did. This is different. You know, you beat them four times during the year. The improbable script that you guys have been handed the last 3 months of the season. If the Yankees, and this is a risk that I'm willing to take because I think the Mets fans are getting a little too big for their britches around here, if that presents itself, I will take great pleasure seeing the life snuffed out of this amazing Mets story. I want to end it.
You want to put little brother back in place?
I'd like to. I want to end it.
And I want to uppercut big brother.
Yes, you do. You want to get him
take
on the chin.
Take his money.
I understand you do.
Go buy some new candy.
Sal, I don't want you guys. Now, I won't. This is going to be tough. Like, if you're playing the Tigers or the Guardians, I mean, am I going to be rooting for the Mets to lose? Oh, God,
you're not going to want to see Mets fans win and glory.
At that point, I got to go the other way. Yeah, I can't blame you.
Yeah.
But I am openly rooting now, and I am now. I've turned the corner.
So we're both in unison here and rooting for each other this round.
Yes. But I've also turned the
little
corner.
Hogan macho handshake here. Mega powers coming together, get us to the Subway Series
a little bit. Maybe not as much as you think. I'm also turning the corner. I've kind of had it up to here, like the Met fan, again. They're getting a little too big for the Pritchard, which I understand. So as much as I would love to be the one to suck that oxygen out of you forever, I wouldn't mind seeing you get hosed 4-1 and just seeing your little spirit dissipate in this series while the Yankees are waxing whomever.
You know what that sounds like to me? Big Brother's afraid.
No. Big Brother's ready.
Big Brother doesn't want this.
By the way, it's 3-on-1 on this show.
You don't want this.
I mean, Hoff and you and Zoo.
We got Zoo. You don't want this smoke.
I'm here for it all.
Hoff,
for this.
What's your level of confidence, Mets versus the Yanks, right now? dude, we're winning the World Series, end of story. It doesn't make a difference who we play.
See, one thing that I don't, and you know, I don't
like that, Hoff. The overconfidence there.
He's been confident all year, to be fair. And so far, he's been on the money. Like he's been this guy all year. I don't unnecessarily run to smoke. I don't, because I'm too old for that, and I just care about what I can. I don't seek smoke. But when smoke starts seeking me with something like this, I'm standing strong. I can promise you that.
I don't run to it. I don't run from it. I bring it.
This is good again.
It's getting a bit smoky.
This is going to be smoke. Insane. Dude,
so where are you at? You got your best. Where's your confidence?
The Yankee World Series?
Yeah.
I got to be real right now. I'm probably sitting at like 50-50.
All right, that's fair.
That you would win it or that you want it?
Oh, I want it.
Of course. Okay, 50-50 they went. Respect.
I respect. Gotcha. All right, let's get back to the phones. BT and Sal on the Fan. Russell's in West Islip. What's up, Russell?
Hey, Russ.
Hey, guys. I want to first say that you guys are my favorite show. Your chemistry together, you're both, like, amazing. And I'm calling to defend Sal because, you know, he's been taking a lot of heat. And I think, in my opinion, all he's saying is that they should beat the Royals. They have the expectations, and yeah, they didn't play great all year, but they still had the best record in baseball, and yeah, they should beat the Royals.
Well, thank you, Russell.
Next player.
Finally, some sensible calls. Thank you, Russell. No, and truth be told, like, I would not say this, I already admitted to you, BT, if the Yankees, and I think that they will, get to the World Series, I would not come on here and be like, yeah, well, you were supposed to. Even though they're supposed to, I think that's a little different. This, to me, is just, and I'm not saying Yankee fans shouldn't celebrate it, and I'm certainly not trying to rain on the parade. All I'm saying is, I expected this. As a matter of fact, I expected them to be better. So, yeah, to get to the World Series, you have to win the Division Series. Mm-hmm. So they did their job. Check that box. I wasn't overly impressed with the way that the Yankees did it. More encouraging from Cole last night and certainly the bullpen. But I don't think that this is some great accomplishment for the Yankees. It's the Royals, and you were expected to win. It's the first step in a process that they're on their way to hopefully completing.
I think that this is where perspective really matters. And obviously my perspective is different because it's my team, just like your perspective with the Mets is different. I think from your perspective, you know, we're just talking about the 2000 World Series and all the aura and all the stuff. And, you know, it probably, even though you know that it's been since 2009, clearly, it's probably more omnipresent than in like on some level in your mind.
Doesn't
that it really
feel like
has been.
Yeah. It does not feel like to me it's been that long.
Well, to us it does. Right. And that's my point. Right. Like, it has been a long time, and I'm tired of hearing about the good old days, the glory days, remember when.
Yep.
It's time to create new memories. It's been a long time.
That is very, very fair. And I told you, I admit it, like, I'm kind of brainwashed still. Every year, certainly since 2017, I felt like, okay, well, they're going to win it this year in 18. No. All right, this is going to be the year. 19, no, fall short again. All right, 20, pandemic shortening. This is going to be the year. They lose to the Rays in the first. Every year since then, outside of, I guess, 2021, where things really started to change for the worse for the Yankees, I felt like the Yankees were going to win it. This year, I did not think that was going to be the case. But in the playoffs, you know, you feel like, all right, maybe they're going to rise to the occasion. And then even being there for game two, and I know that was the one game that they lost, but it just, the crowd was great. The team just didn't respond in the way that I was used to watching those dynasty teams. You're right, it's been a long time, but I lived through it. It's hard for me to forget that.
I don't know if this is a really great analogy or comparison because, you know, I'm going to do a little Jet Patriot thing here. Like, I'm a Jets fan, right? So let's say the Patriots really do wallow in misery for, you know, 5 of the next 6 years. They're a 4-win team. They're a 3-win team. They're a 6-win team. It's easy for me to say, you know, the Jets aren't the Yankees, obviously. I could say, come on, guys, how frustrated could you be? Like, if you're 40 years old, you get how many championships with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? Suck it up. You can go through a little lean period. Now, obviously, the Yankees' lean periods are nowhere near the lean periods of the Jets. But Patriot fans would probably feel, to an extent, like how I feel now as a Yankee fan. Like, that was great. I loved it. It was amazing. I'm thankful. Good stuff, but I need more. And that's the other thing. Like, once you get a taste of a lot, you need a little more of a taste.
Right.
You need more.
I would even say with the Mets, like, just for me, it's consistent. Like, it's not just because the Yankees aren't my team. With the Mets in 2022, I wasn't happy that they made the postseason. And you would think, well, your team never makes the postseason.
Yeah, that surprised me when you told me that. Like, I would have been pumped if I was a Mets fan in 2022.
Annoyed that they blew the division, and even more annoyed that they, well, maybe not more annoyed, but just as annoyed when they lost in that round. Even going into this year, you asked me flat out, if the Mets make the playoffs, would you be satisfied with that?
I did.
And what'd I say?
You said no.
Yeah.
You are consistent. I'm going to give you that. Yeah, You're consistent with this stuff.
So it's not just
you're a tough man to make happy, dude.
That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, I feel sorry for your wife. I mean, you are tough to... I'd like to see you a little happier.
And maybe I should lower my expectations because ultimately you're right. Like, if I'm not finding joy in certain things, I just have the highest of expectations for them... For other things, this is now with the Mets specifically. In this case, they've exceeded those. Like now, because the way that they beat the Brewers and the way that they beat the Braves to get in, beat the Brewers, beat the Phillies. Now, even if they lost, I'd be disappointed, but I wouldn't go nuts.
Like, what if they lost to the Phillies in five?
I would have been disappointed, but I still probably would have been understanding. Although after they won game one, I said, all right, now you got to win this series.
Yeah, I got you.
But yeah, like, I think that they've done more than enough to be, like, they've reached and exceeded the expectations.
Yeah, they've had a great season.
Yeah.
For now.
Bill, Blake is calling from Burlington, Mass. What's up, Blake?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time listener, first time caller, big fan.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Bill. I just wanted to talk on the point as being a younger Yankee fan. You know, I was born in 01, so we really only have that 09 series. So this run for us is pretty big. But, you know, I'm feeling pretty confident with Judge Heaton back up. The bullpen's been locked down. And just one more thing, man. I want those Mets. I want to take them down in the World Series. I hope that we can little brother them and I can shove it in all my Mets fans' face, man.
Yep. Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for the call, Blake. It's crazy to think about. Blake says he was born
01.
Right, so he wasn't even alive.
Wait, it was 08 when they won at 9.
Right, but I'm saying for the Subway Series. And I think you and I, because of our age, like for me in my mind, I'm still the younger guy. But I'm not anymore. Yeah. I'm now 45, and I've experienced a lot. Whereas Blake calls, and if you're a fan listening in your teens or mid-20s, like, you don't even remember the Subway Series. Like, we lived it. I was at three of those games.
Mm-hmm.
I it's hard for me to fathom somebody that didn't experience it, but you're going to have a whole new generation that may, if it happens, get to experience that for the first time.
Well, the other thing, too, I lived through it. I didn't get to experience it the right way. I told you, I was living in Vegas. It was my second radio job, Subway Series.
Right.
And I was watching, I lived with a couple of guys from New Jersey, a couple guys at the station, and Yankee fans. And we had our little fun dynamic, like, internally, but I was in the state of Nevada when the Subway Series was going on my turf, being from here, and I'm back.
Yeah.
And I like to live through it.
For me, I wasn't even working in the business. I was working at Home Depot at the time. So it'd be a different animal 24 years later, not only having the Subway Series, but being on WFAN, working with a damn Yankee fan to boot.
That's right. Ooh. Like the shirt tonight? Like
I
hoodie? Do.
I see. I noticed your. Was that a stadium giveaway?
No.
It's just a Yankee hoodie? Okay.
What are the purchases?
Yeah, there you go. All right. It's going to be chaos around here. Sunday is going to be game one of the division series for the Mets.
Yep, on Fox.
So 8:15, right up against the Giants, I hate that. It's the second week in a row.
Sorry,
they get
Giants.
A Mets playoff game against the Giants. I know. But the Giants have been playing better.
I know.
And then even the Jets now, Monday with the Bills, which is a huge game for the division, new coach, all that stuff. You're going to have both the Mets and Yankees. Mets are at 4. Yankees.
Mets should be over by then. Mets are at 4:08 on Fox. Yanks are 7:37 TBS.
So wait, Mets 4:08.
That'll be over by the time the Jets
Yankees
and the Bills start.
7:37.
Yep. You'll have Bills and Jets will kick off at 8:15, probably second inning of the Yankee game. That's the tough one for me.
I mean, that's annoying.
I actually just turned down tickets to the game on Monday.
No, you can't. You can't go to the game.
Yankees. Yeah. I gotta watch both. I mean, it's Jets season.
I know. And now that will be game one for the Yanks. What about game two?
Game two is on Tuesday at 7:37. Nothing else.
And then the Mets Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yanks
Wednesday, Mets 8:08.
And we don't know.
I don't have anything beyond that.
Yeah, which is bull crap because Thursday, Friday, like I want to know what's going on. You have the Mets and Yankees the same time.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it does alter my schedule. For example, I guess SNY now on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
My show is not before, but it's after because 4:08 is an earlier start. So then it's going to be the Mets into Mets postgame coverage, which is extended, obviously, in the postseason. Then it could be like a 9:30 p.m. baseball night in New York, which I'm going to be on up against the Jets. And then Wednesday, we know is 8.
Yep.
Thursday, Thursday, Friday, it is Mets and Yanks on the same day.
And you might get another 4 or 4:08.
Right.
You
now,
might.
I don't understand why they would put Mets and whoever
at
4:08. Especially when you're West Coast. Why would the West Coast game want to be played at 1:08?
I mean, it's very simple from a network perspective. You want the big boys playing in prime time.
But you think, all kidding aside, you think Yanks, Tigers, or Yanks, Guardians, the better draw, the Mets, Dodgers?
I don't.
So is that what they're waiting for? I mean, I don't know the answer.
I don't know why they're. I don't. I mean, listen, anytime you get a chance to run the Yankees out there in primetime, you obviously do it. But, you know, the Mets story, and it's New York, and then you mix in especially if it's the Dodgers. I mean, the Padres may be a little less, even though the Padres might be better than the Dodgers. I think they are. But it's the Dodgers. So, yeah, it's odd.
And by the way, if the Mets and Dodgers are, in fact, primetime, that would mean the Yankees are going to be at 4:08.
On which day now? On Thursday?
Potentially Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
I believe Thursday, Friday is... Now, Friday would be game 5 for the NLCS. So that's, you know, we still don't know if that's even going to have to take place. You would assume that it will.
But
you could have conceivably the Yankees being on at 4:08 for Thursday and Friday, or at least one or the other.
I honestly wouldn't mind that myself.
But that would be game 3 and 4?
It would be game 3 and 4. So all I have so far is through the American League Championship Series, game 2. And that's obviously Tuesday at night. All we have from the NL side is game 3, which is Wednesday at 8:08.
Yeah, I don't even know how I'm going to go to these games or what. 8:08, by the way, 8:08's a late start.
A little bit. I love the 7:37 stuff. Yeah, it's easier for my kids. It's easier for us. It's just, I like it.
Yeah, so is Colt going to be able to, all kidding aside, like, is Colt going to be able to stay up?
He watched the first 7 innings last night.
And that started at?
8:08.
Right. So that's too late.
He's 9. I mean, and he just happened to fall asleep. I would have let him stay up for the whole game.
And that game moved.
I know. It did move. Yeah, it did.
So an 8:08 with a game that's not pitched by Garrett Cole shutting down the Royals.
That's an 11:30-ish kind of deal.
So now I'm thinking, because I have tickets to these games to go to Citi Field for potentially game 3, 4, and 5. I don't think I could do it. Think about it. Not only getting there, the hassle, but then leaving. Let's say the game ends at 11:08 or 10 after 11.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take me 2.5 hours to get home.
Yeah, and then you got to spin it back here and get here pretty early. That's not just me. You make some money.
That's what I mean. Well, no, I can't because I get them through work.
I think you paid for them.
I did, but I'm not allowed to resell.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I can sell them for.
Face value. Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, and it's not just me. Like, people who commute.
Oh yeah.
Hours, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours that have to be up at work early, or kids. To your point, that's the better argument.
Mm-hmm.
How are kids supposed to enjoy? Like, I like the 5:08 start. Actually.
You know what though, Sal? It seems like it's unique to us because we're parents and we're juggling. This has been going on forever, man.
Yeah.
You go back to the 70s with the Yanks, I'm sure at the Mets in 69 and so forth, 86, whatever. Hey, tell me parents weren't going to work exhausted the next day. Now, the game started, you had a lot more day games back then, and that's something we pine for, but obviously for ratings, baseball's not going to do it much. Like, I'm talking about like 1 o'clock starts, you'd get that back in the day, is what it is.
Dylan is calling from Long Island. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, guys, big fan of the show. Love you guys, and would love to see Yankees Mets and you guys just go at it.
But,
Sal, Sal, I got to come at you, man.
Yeah.
Anytime you win an ALDS or an ALCS, it doesn't matter who you play. You still wanted to step on the schedule, and the Yankees handled their business, and that's the most important thing. And they did it without Aaron Judge, 2 hits in the series. That's impressive to me, and I know the way they played might not have been pretty physically to watch it, but if you would have told me Aaron Judge had 2 hits in this series and looked endemic and lost at times, I would have told you it would have been probably a 5-game series and a white knuckle ride all the way to the end. And it was.
By the way, hold on a second. I would have said that in this series. I might say that in the next series, where I think the Guardians lineup is you know, a little deeper than the. I mean, the Royals have really two. I mean, really, Pasquantino, you got to get. He did nothing, but he's okay. He's got a little pop. Guardians have speed like the Royals, although the Royals didn't use it. I don't think the Yankees can win. Well, you know what? As I'm thinking about this.
Well, without Judge.
I actually think that they probably can. I mean, obviously, Judge going bonkers makes it easier. And I thought Judge put some great swings on the ball last night. He's starting to get his walks. He stole the base, obviously, the night before. The night before, going back to game 3, got rung up on that, I think, 7th inning. That ridiculous check swing call wasn't even close. Like, Judge is showing signs of waking up. I think he actually hits a lot this next series.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
But even if he didn't, I still think they could probably piece together four wins if it's the Dodgers, the Padres, or even the Mets. And we're pushing it forward to the next round. If Judge doesn't hit, I don't think they could win.
I don't think they could win even this round without Judge or Austin Wells having a big impact. Austin Wells has not helped them
either. He's been quiet, man. No, he's definitely been quiet.
You need one of those two. Alex is in Perth Amboy. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. What's up, pal?
All right, well, I'm a huge Yankees fan, born in 86, I guess from the womb, 85. And let me tell you why I'm ecstatic that they're getting and going to the ALCS. It's not why you think. It's because I can't see that damn Bob Costas anymore, man.
Oh, thank God. I cannot take it.
Listen, man, he comes on with recycled garbage. He comes on talking about Michael Garcia. If he gets on base, he's going to steal one all three, four games. Come on, man.
Here's the thing, though. And thank you for the call, Alex. That was very funny. Bob Costas was fine last night. You got to be fair. I'm not one to be overly critical. I thought he was awful in game three. I love him. He's a legend. I respect him. Do I think it's his perfect place being a play-by-play guy? No, I don't. But I thought he was fine last night.
I thought he stepped it up a little bit. I would stop short of saying good because he still sounds like it's a 1930 broadcast and it's a little contrived and a little corny. It's just not my style. And I'm not 20 years old, so if I'm saying it sounds old, I can only imagine what it sounds like to my son and some other teenagers. It's just an antiquated approach. But he was better last night. Listen, I'm done with it. There was never a gratuitous shot. And you remember, once we got the broadcast teams prior to the start of the series, I'm like, he was awful in 22. So it was a first guess, and, he was not good. But last night was better, so there's no need to reach for something if it's not necessarily there. But I did see this. You know the New York Porch?
Yeah,
the parody of Cal, New York Post. See this picture of Stanton? So they've got a quote board, and it says he was asked about his big night. I did it for the fans. We finished this, and we're done with Costas.
Oh, I actually felt bad for him.
Did you
hear him sign off last night?
I did. He thanked Joe Moore. I'm human, man.
It's the game I love more than anything else.
But even that, I did. It got me a little bit like, all right, I still stand by what I said. He was awful, and I'm thrilled he's out. He's done, and hopefully they don't let him back next year. But I mean that. He's just terrible. He's going to get worse, not going to get better. But I think when I heard him say that, it did touch me because I do know he loves the game.
Yes.
He loves the game maybe as much as any other public persona, like in terms of just communicating the game of baseball. And that came across. Now, I thought it was also a little self-important, like, does anybody else really thank all their broadcast? Like, I don't know. You really thank do you go through the resume at that point? Probably not.
Well, why do you think he did that?
Because that's it.
That's what I mean.
No, I know.
I think he's just like, you know what? I don't need this crap.
Yeah, I finally drove him out. Nice. It worked. He also takes himself too seriously. And by the way, he weighs in on a lot of stuff about the world, which bothers a lot of people. He does.
I get it, but he's Bob Costas.
He is. All right, so let's examine that statement. I'm not going to belabor it, but he is Bob Costas. I agree with that.
Especially from one broadcast. It's one thing for people on social media to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have a hard time. Like, did I think he was good in game three? I thought he was bad. But from one broadcaster to another, also acknowledging how great he was.
Yep.
It'd be like,
We think it's like sacrilege or blasphemous, like eating your own kind of.
Like Anthony Recker, all due respect, picking on Mike Piazza. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Is the gap that big between me and Costas?
Can you
at least make me a seven hitter?
I'm messing
with you.
Whatever.
I don't even like doing it because I do believe in not protecting, but being fair to our brethren. I know you were talking before about the smoke and the World Series. I don't chase smoke, and I certainly don't chase. I'm not going back down for it with the Mets. I can't wait. But I don't, if we get there, I don't take pleasure in knocking people. I've never been that proud. I wasn't raised that way. I'm not that way. I try to elevate people. But Bob Costas does take himself too seriously. And I think that on a lot of levels, he thinks he kind of invented the medium. But you said he's Bob Costas, and I want to examine that statement very quickly. You're right. He is Bob Costas. But who is Bob Costas? But he's not a play-by-play legend. He's not. Never was. I think Costas, I think, studio, NBA, NBA basketball, sitting, whether it's at the Boston Garden or the Forum, Celtics, Lakers, whatever, draft stuff, some football studio stuff, the best studio man I've ever seen. In terms of play-by-play, I honestly think he's one of the worst. Did you hear Anderson's call the other night with the home run?
No, but I love him. I think
dude,
he's
did
great.
You didn't hear his call?
No.
His call, did you guys hear the zoo? His call.
Do we have it? Maybe I could listen to it if we actually have it in the system.
If you got, I know I'm putting you on the spot. I'm going to play it for you after. It was so amazing, and it got me so excited. Like, if that's, Judge, or if that's the other team I'm going to feel, he really stripped away my enjoyment for the series, and I just felt that way. He was bad. But I'm going to stop bagging on him. I'm not going to just push this
in
a mean-spirited. It is. I'm not going to be mean-spirited, but he was bad.
BT and Sal on the fan.
It's actually awful. that's the end. That's it, I promise.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls when we come back. I was not aware of a situation that's going on with the Giants. But first, Brian Daboll speaking today, talking about the status of Malik Nabers for Sunday night against the Bengals.
Where are we at with Malik at this point?
He'll be doing stuff out on the field, more like he was doing the last 2 days. He won't make it.
How does he progress? He comes in the morning. Is he actually getting a test, or is it strictly based on him telling the doctors how he feels?
Yeah, well, there's a communication between him and the training staff, and then he'll do activity, and then there's communication after that. And, we're still, obviously, we're making progress, but, again, that's never anything you want to rush.
Okay, so there is concern here, BT,
He hasn't played in 2 weeks. Big-time concern for the head injury, no doubt.
And he's out again. We're talking about a couple Thursdays
ago
against Dallas. So Malik Nabers not only ruled out, I guess it's not a total shock, but definitely disappointment because maybe there was hope he would play for Sunday night. Okay, now, I don't know if you were aware of this. Hoff told me that apparently Evan and Tiki were talking about it yesterday. I just saw it come up. Apparently Malik Nabers was at a Travis Scott concert at MetLife Stadium a couple of nights ago.
I did not know that.
Now, if he did attend that, and I guess there were some videos circulating, would you have an issue with that?
Well, I mean, if you're... It doesn't look good. At the lowest level, it doesn't look good. You're at a concert, you have a head injury, it's loud. Do you really need the sound ringing through your head and amplifying through your head? I mean, I don't know if that's actually directly connected to a concussion and adversely hurt. Probably not, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good.
I would have an issue with it. Let's see if Brian Daboll has an issue with it.
Did you have any issue with him going to concert the other night?
Yeah, I'll keep that all in-house.
Violation of any protocol on his end?
Nope.
Doesn't sound like a guy who seems happy about his star wide receiver who hasn't played in a couple of weeks being at the concert. I guess the video Hoff is saying was only of Scott walking out of the concert. It's not a good look.
Of Nabers walking out of the concert,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. Now, I don't know that it sounds like Dable's obviously annoyed, clearly. When somebody says, I'll keep that to myself, generally it's like, well, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything. Right. But it could also be the opposite, just for sake of discussion here. Brian Daboll could, because he's pretty savvy, he might be saying to himself, all right, if I say that I don't have an issue with it, am I creating a bit of a loose culture, like he's not playing in 2 weeks, and who knows if it's going to be 3 weeks eventually. He's been out for a while. If I'm okay with him going to a concert, can my culture get called into question? I think the first reaction is, man, Dable's pissed. And I probably think that it does bother him.
But we don't know.
But just for sake of conversation, maybe he's just trying to stifle the media and not give them an answer that he thinks that they can twist.
Which is what he does. which is why I think it's okay. Hey, we're going to keep it in-house. I just don't think, and that's why I asked you like what you would feel, because we don't know what Dable would feel. I would assume Dable wasn't thrilled about it and probably let Malik Nabers know about it. Hey, look, I really don't care if you go to concerts or whatever during the season, if it's not a busy night or whatever, a game night.
Sure.
But I'd prefer that you do it when you're actually active and playing. It's not good optics for you or for the organization to have you going through concussion protocol and not being able to play and then being seen at a concert. Like, you got to be smarter than
that. Not a good look. It does seem unprofessional. Listen, this is a different part of the conversation, but it's really the most important one. Who cares about optics? I worry about the young man's brain. This has to be really serious. I mean,
again, you talked about this at first. We were having that conversation. I was at the game.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I was on the way home actually listening to it, and it didn't sound like they were like it was a big deal at the time.
It didn't look like it was a big deal. It looked fairly innocuous. Like, a lot of times, you know, again, we associate that concussion with that crunching hit, you know, Burfict and Antonio Brown, or a quarterback getting crushed in his head, you know, ricocheting off the turf on like Tua had a couple times. That did seem fairly benign. Now, it's easy for me to say it's benign when I'm not getting, I'm not 200 pounds on me, somebody, trying to, and then my head hitting the turf, which is not as soft as people might think. But the fact that it's Friday and he's already ruled out, and this was yesterday that he spoke? This was yesterday or this
was this
morning?
No, this was today, I believe.
This was
today, right, Hoff? Just now?
Hoff, did Dable say this today or yesterday? Thank you.
It was just now.
So he just said it now, so... Again, I mean, it's not like it's tomorrow. It's not even a game time decision. The game's Sunday night. It's not Sunday at 1. So the fact that he's ruled out now, like so quickly, like, hey, it's not even really a discussion point. You have to really start worrying where his season's going to go. Sorry.
And then you worry about, like we said, God forbid, the long term stuff with Tua or whatever. Not that you're even wanting to speak that into existence, but
I know.
With these type injuries. You never know.
It's worrisome at this point.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day. The Yankees punching their ticket to the American League Championship Series. We talked that. We talked a little Subway Series possibility, having some fun here on this Friday. We'll also get into the perfect parlay coming up later on. But when we come back, we're talking Yankees and taking your calls. 888-808-1019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.